insight to your word. Thank you for clarity, absence of error, precise application and understanding of beholding Christ Jesus as he sees us in him. Amen. All right. Quickly, last session I didn't touch something. We said that we were not redeemed from God. We're redeemed unto God. All right? Not from God. Because to be redeemed from God would mean that he was the one who held us in bondage. I think that is clear enough. So the price for sin was not paid to him. Except if he was sin, of which he is not. And of course he's also not the devil. So when you see that word apollotrosis, of course we've seen redemption of the body. You can see how that's used. Redemption of the body from what? From corruption. So corruption in that context would be the bondage the body is with, is under. So the redemption from corruption, which is called deliverance into the glorious liberty of the, or freedom to the glorious liberty of the children of God. So we are free, yet we still want freedom. Is that clear? Okay. So, that said, you see that word used, redemption. Luke 21, 28, your redemption dwelt near. Romans 3, 24. Romans 8, 23. 1 Corinthians 1, 30. Ephesians 1, 7. Colossians 1, 14. Redemption. Ephesians 1, 14. Redemption of the body. Ephesians 4, 30. Hebrews 9, 15. Look at that Hebrews 9, 15. Eternal redemption from. Every time you see redemption, it will be from. Don't always see for. Redemption from sin for God. From death to life. Do you understand? Is that clear? Do you understand? Redemption from. So it is a person you are redeeming from that deserves or demanded the price. The person you redeemed for is the one who paid it. Or who it was paid for. Not to. So, God in Christ redeemed us from sin, from death, to himself. Is it clear? Is it clear? We are redeemed from the enemy. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Redemption is from to. Look at Hebrews 9. 15. I'll start from 12. Neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Having means he hath obtained eternal redemption. That is, he entered after he had obtained redemption. He did not enter to obtain redemption. Is that clear? Because he entered in his resurrection. Redemption is in his death. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? How much, okay, for if the blood of bulls and goats, and of goats, and the eyes of an eye for sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more, now he's moving to sanctification, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit, offered himself without spot to God, purge. Now, when he's talking about God, he's referring to the holy place, which is after his resurrection. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So, have you been able to separate the events? Can you separate the events? In his death, redemption. In his resurrection, sanctification. Are you following that? Are you following that? Sanctification is what changed us. Redemption is what freed us. Freed us from the devil, changed us by God. Is it clear? Is it clear? For this cause is the mediator of the new covenant or New Testament by the means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. By the means of death, redemption. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Can you separate the events? Huh? Redemption, sanctification, inheritance. Inheritance is what God had allotted for you. You get that? Which he just told you, we are sanctified. Sanctified. We are made holy. We are made new. So, whenever you see apolutrosis or lutron, apolutrosis is redemption, lutron is ransom. The payment. Christ's death is the ransom. You get that? Ransom to deliver us from sin, from death, and by identification the enemy, of course. Let's now look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14. Remove your religious glasses. Because we often wear it. Are you there? Pay attention. Let's read it small by small. So that we will not go into trouble. Let's start from 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That's by him in love. Having predestined us unto what? Adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. In whom we have what? Redemption. Through his blood. Where do we have redemption? Where do we have redemption? His blood. That is his death. The forgiveness of sins, where? Is it the same thing? The forgiveness of sins, that is the taking away of sins according to what? The riches of his grace. Pay attention to that word, the use of his grace. Notice his grace in 6. His grace. That term. His grace. So, where else, did he use his grace? The grace of God. Wherein, watch this, we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly in Christ. So, by grace you are saved is what? Redemption or the resurrection? Because he says, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, the gifts of God, not of works, that any man should boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before had ordained that we should walk in them. Does it make sense to you? Huh? So, where does he situate redemption? In his blood. Alright? Forgiveness of sins, where? Huh? So, forgiveness of sins in Ephesians is were raised from the dead. It's plain now. It's clear now. Have we not just read it? We were dead in sins. He has raised us together with Christ. That's why in Paul's teaching, Paul says, if Christ be not raised, you are in. So, forgiveness is you are out. Is that clear? Aphesis is not pardon. Hallelujah. You get it? Aha. Are you following Paul's use of that word now? Should I go by it again? He said he got it, I said I go by it again. We were dead in sins and trespasses. Right? Forgiveness according to the riches of his grace is that we were quickened together with Christ. Redemption is in his blood. Forgiveness is to be raised together with Jesus. That's why Ephesians makes sense. Do you understand? You should. Colossians 1. So when he says, he has forgiven you for Christ's sake, does it make sense now? That means in Christ, you are raised together with Christ. That's what it means. Not that he looked at Jesus, then forgave you. Hallelujah. That means he separated you from sins. Where? In Christ. So forgiveness is separating you from sins. That's how Paul used it. Not pardon of everyday sin. In the Pauline revelation, you and sin don't meet again. Except in your conduct. That's why we're going to see in the love of God, you will not meet forever. That is why whatever the man has done will be burnt. He won't see it again. You are not going to come in contact with your bad deeds again. It will be burnt. You will see it. Hallelujah. You will see it again. Amen. Okay. Colossians 1:14, the same place. You know that? That's how Paul taught it in Colossians 2. He taught forgiveness in the resurrection. Identification. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption. Why would he say in whom we have redemption? Through his blood. Now, notice, let's couch it well. In whom we have redemption through his blood. What was he talking about? Remove 12, 13, and 14. So let's start. Have you removed it? So let's read it. Giving thanks, everybody, let's go. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of inheritance. So where do we have? The inheritance of the saints. In the light. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has transferred us in the kingdom of his dear son. Now, that deliverance is redemption. Okay? In whom we have redemption through his blood. So, forgiveness of sins will be what? The inheritance of the saints in the light. Go to Acts 26. Because notice, darkness is what required what? Redemption. You know, you use darkness and light. Right? Look at Acts 26. We were there earlier. Acts 26. Look at this. to open their eyes, to turn them from the darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. So, Paul's use of forgiveness of sins is what? An inheritance. I'm quoting Paul for you. So, go to Colossians 2:13. You being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. So again, see where he put forgiveness again. In being raised together. He doesn't put forgiveness of sins in the price being paid, because he's not the one who received it. He puts forgiveness of sins in what he did. That is, in raising us up, he separates us from sins forever. Is that clear? Do you understand? In redemption, we are separated from what? We are delivered from the power of darkness. Okay? In forgiveness of sins, what happens? Our faces, we are released. And how are we released? By being raised together with Jesus. That's why Romans 6 says, we walk in the newness of life. So, don't put the two together. Forgiveness cannot be Satan. Redemption is Satan. Forgiveness is God, where he removes us from sins forever. Hallelujah. Let's go. So, now, again, the subject of salvation, like we have said, is all encompassing. It's all encompassing. We keep looking at it, because that is the doctrine of the Bible. That's the doctrine of the Bible. We keep looking at it. We keep looking at it. We keep saying it over and over and over again. Paul said to Timothy, and when he says that all scripture given by the Spirit of God is profitable for teaching, I said earlier, it means to teach salvation through faith that is in Christ. When you talk about the doctrine of Christ, you're talking about salvation through faith that is in Christ. That's the doctrine of Christ. And so he enjoins Timothy to study, to show himself approved unto God, which is to be eager, that's the word study, to be spoudazo in the Greek, S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O, to be eager, to make every attempt to show thyself as someone who is tested by God, who has been proven, a workman that need not be ashamed, or rightly devised, and that word rightly devised, the word autotomio in the Greek, is used for miners, those who go into the rocks to bring out precious stones. You know, you have to be very careful how you go through it. It's like surgery. You're very, very careful. Because if you are not careful, you can in the, rather than get, you know, why some things are, precious stones are very expensive, because they are pure. You don't have impurities there. You don't have, some will be mixed. I explained that to you in church, but the zeolite, where there are precious stones in the midst of other stuff, so they get mixed, so they just buy cheap. You know? But, and that's the danger of mixing things up. A workman must be ready. He must be, you must give yourself to it. I dare say, that the study of scripture demands more work than a professorial work. I dare say. Feel like Kenyan today. I dare say it. Hallelujah. Because you have to walk. It's something you have to, a workman. And that's the same word, ergotis, used for laborers. Those who walk. Even when you are taught, it's not for you to go and just be go and download like a computer. You still sit on it and look at it yourself. Hallelujah. Was it yesterday I was telling you about the teacher in the Bible is one who has been taught? Was it yesterday? Was it in service or in the seminar? Church service. Huh? You have to be taught. Well, we looked at what mantos. Seven. Okay. Yeah. You have to be. So let's get back to this subject again. So God does not desire sacrifice. Hallelujah. Amen. He doesn't desire sacrifice. Is it likely that Abel, who offered the first animal, must have misled people? Is it likely? Think about it. It's not likely. Meanwhile, his faith was not in things that were seen. Because salvation is not in things. Is it likely he did? Or maybe his father misrepresented what God did. Praise God. Some say, well, God covered Adam and Eve with blood. What kind of statement is that? How can God take blood and cover Adam and Eve? We have thought about it. From what? That's the genesis of clothes. It's not simple. Don't put any spiritual thing in it. Amen? Why put spiritual things in it? That's the genesis of wearing clothes. Praise God. Is it likely that Abel now saw something about animals? Amen. Because, can see, it flowed from Abel and eventually became idol worship. Whereas, Abel's faith was the substance of things, evidence of things not seen. Don't always be relying on what those people did. Look into Christ. Eh? That's again, Abel again. Do you believe in Abel? Why are you uncomfortable when we say things? Some people are just uncomfortable when we say, and they say, hey, oh, Abel, oh, Abel, oh. Which one is Abel? Don't look at me anyhow now. It's not unlikely Abel misled people. Hallelujah. It's not unlikely. Because you say, who asked them to bring sacrifice? God told them later, I said, I don't want sacrifice. Who asked them? You cannot rely on their impression of God. You are in Christ. Hallelujah. You can't rely on their impression of God. You can't. Or you want to see that scripture? You want to see. God made coats of skin and clothed them. Simple. How can he now put blood on their body? Clothes. Very simple. Praise God. That's where God started the blood sacrifice. Because God knows that if he doesn't put the blood on them, he might get angry with them. So he prevented his own anger. By he knows that in the morning he can be gentle, but at night he can just go crazy. He said, before I get angry at night, I want to give you blood. So that when I get that part of me, when it comes out, that other part of me will have covered it for you. That's a bipolar being. How can you say, and you say it doesn't change? That was changing, you know. I have never seen the Lord. Oh, yeah. Once I was, nah, even small boy, everything once I was. I have never seen the Lord change yet. They are even shooting gun in this one. Matthew 9:13. Hallelujah. One beautiful thing about Jesus is that he presents the Father to us. Amen. Whether in the four Gospels, in his death, burial, and resurrection, we have clarity about who God is. Praise God. You know, it takes time. Particularly when, before you got born again, you have been going to church. You have enough information already. Some of you are debugging. It's not even something you learn as a believer. It's what you learn before you go to him. A lot of things you learn before you go to him. The way you have God says, so we'll have even many posts, you know, for you. Matthew 9:13. Go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy, not sacrifice. For I am not called to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I will have mercy, not sacrifice. That is, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Let's see where that thing was taken from. Hosea 6:6. So, when Jesus died, it wasn't God that desired it. Is it clear? Huh? Hosea 6:6. There are so many concepts we have talked about God. For example, the whole hell concept. You know, the hell concept is really serious. I had a gnashing of teeth. They know how to act it as though they've seen it before. Have you seen it before? They are trying to act what you don't know. Alright. For I desired mercy, not sacrifice. The knowledge of God more than burnt offering. Hosea 6:6. How about that? Look at that word. Mercy is the word chesed or hesed. Is the same word used for grace. Grace. Loving kindness. Not burnt offering. Loving kindness. That is, my will is what? Huh? My choice is what? Loving kindness. My will is loving kindness, not sacrifice. Look at Hebrews 10. Well, this Hebrews 10 yesterday, right? Were we? Hebrews 10. Where? Look at verse 6. Let's start from 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers unto perfect. You know, the law was scare, shadow, okay, they had a blood vision. So, because they did not know who held man in bondage, they were offering sacrifices in the holy place. They didn't know. For them, God did everything, so their sacrifices were to God. Now, if you mirror that in the new covenant, you discover that they did not know, they didn't see it. They mirrored that. I mean, they had that shadow. And every time they brought those sacrifices, it never took away sins. It never did. It says never, because the worshippers once purged should have no more consciousness of sins. In those sacrifices, in the remembrance again is made year by year of sins. Now, who can make a remembrance of sins? It can't be God. Are you following? For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Why are you just telling us now? Was I the one that told you to do it? Did you get my conversation? Ask Moses how he received forgiveness of sins. Did he offer any animal? When he preached the gospel to you, did he ask you to do anything? No, and that's why you have to be doing something. Are you following? You were supposed to just believe. If you don't accept grace, you take judgment. Right? Okay, look at this. Wherefore, when he comes to this world, look at what he says. Sacrifice and offering thou would not. Hallelujah. A body thou hast prepared me. Glory to God. He begins to speak of his resurrection. Are you there? In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you have no pleasure. Somebody following this? Then said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written, to do thy will, O God. I ask, I come to where? I come to where? Where did he come to do his will? Is this incarnation or resurrection? Oh yeah, go on. About when the sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin thou would not, neither are pleasure, which are offered by the law. That is, he doesn't want it, he has no pleasure in it. Look at how many years he did it. So I tell him, well, how come God allowed them? Do you know how many churches God has allowed for 1,000 years? Even upon redemption, do you know how long Peter and Co. Do you know they were? Are you aware that those who wanted to kill Paul were born again? And what are they fighting for? They were fighting because Paul did not respond. He didn't ask him to teach the law of Moses. That law produces those kind of things. Vengeance, witchcraft, manipulation, murders. Even among believers. That's why he says, when you are led by another the law, for the law is what produces the works of the flesh. They were believers though. James said that there are those who have believed, who have taken a vow on your case. So, what did God do with Paul? He was just running. Nothing was stopped. Has he stopped them till date? No! The Pharisees who have believed, as they have children, senior pastors, when they start, hallelujah. I was talking to a preacher yesterday night and he said the thing about that communion that irritates him. Because we're trained. He said is that nobody has ever pointed to somebody that died because he ate the communion wrongly. But people have just believed it. I asked the pastor and I said, show me somebody. It's just like communion, the Passover. It was never whether by Moses. That's why people say, Melchizedek offered the communion. You are tired. You are tired in your mind. Which communion? Are you drunk? You are tired. Very tired. Let's go on, Jerry. Do you know that there is no way in the Bible where the Passover was eaten for healing? Yet, it has become church services all over the world. When you are talking, you think you are a bad guy. He always likes to say people. He always likes to say the people. You can't kill me. Oh. Yeah, I will run. You can't kill me. Babe, come on, love. You can't touch me. That's the point. I went to a Bible school. I told my pastor, say, hey, are you now saying, why are you? Am I the one that said it? I quoted a verse of scripture how Jesus said that the person who broke the law and taught it is the least in the kingdom. The one who did not break it, someone said, why would you say that kind of thing? I quoted Jesus. Can you see this? They are just angry. A guy was angry, said, do I have to quote that verse? Not this one, no. This was in 97. That he that believes cannot perish. How can you quote? Do you have to quote it? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm very sorry. That is Satan getting angry. That's what's happening. Anywhere you find bondage is the devil. Bondage. Comb. Using things. No. Using things. Peter calls them vain things. It's for idol worship. That is why, did you discover, I taught this in communion, that what Paul was warning in 1 Corinthians 8 was idolatry. He knew that the continual usage of the Passover will lead to idolatry. Because that is the underlining tone. Because the person that was appeased in Exodus was not God. It's plain and simple. Are you listening? It's not God. He's not the destroyer. So, things eventually lead people to idol worship. Praise God. Where was I? I don't desire sacrifice. So is this clear? Then say, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Hallelujah. Woo! What did he do? He takes away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which we are sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times? Once. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Was this his death or his resurrection? From henceforth, expecting. Do you know that if Paul were to teach this, Paul would say, we're raised together with him. That's what Paul would have said. Praise God. So that means in this resurrection, look at it. That's why in this resurrection, he says we are sanctified. We are perfected forever. Are you there? From henceforth, expect his enemies be footstool, for by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. He made it look like we're third party in the transaction. Paul says, we're him. Hallelujah. We're in him. We're raised together. We're quickened together. Praise God. Whilst Hebrews will say, he appeared in the presence of God for us. Paul says, we're raised together. Do you understand that? So it's a language thing. So it's a resurrection. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So the will of God is resurrection. Amen. And life. He sanctified us by his life. Amen. Follow this. So that's the wisdom. Lord, what's the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is in a person. The wisdom of God. Let me go back to what I said earlier. See, the truth is this. Anywhere Moses is being upheld, you will always find hatred, witchcraft, manipulation, coercion. Do you know that you will find miracles? Moses had miracles. You find miracles. In fact, the more miracles he did, the more he told them, you are in trouble. Hallelujah. I told you on Sunday how he struck the rock, water came out. It came out. And he struck the rock. And water still came out. You ask him a question. You are saying that if anybody disobeys, he is guilty of all the law. Who stoned him? The point is, did they even know what God told him? You know, they were in the overflow. They didn't know anything. It was whatever he told them. Hallelujah. Thank God for Christ Jesus. It wasn't easy. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6. You learning something? So God is not bipolar. Don't forget. Look at even James in his law thinking. Let him ask of God, who gives unto all liberally, James, and does not find fault. Huh? James said God does not find fault. So who finds fault? Who? Who finds fault? Who? He shall be given. Hallelujah. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. Hallelujah. This insight can only be found in God. Paul calls it the many-sided wisdom of God. Manifold wisdom of God that come to nothing. He says it's not the Sophia of this age. The word coming to nothing is the same word, katagio, annul, destroyed. Look at that wisdom. You know, in the wisdom of God, in 1 Peter 1, look at verse 12. Peter 1:12 just defines the angels for you. We are coming to the angels very soon. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto all the mysteries of the things which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. With who? The Holy Ghost. You can only find these things in the Holy Ghost. Which the things the angels what? Desire to. How did Peter know this? Peter was able to study the angels from Genesis to Malachi. He knew that they were desiring. Because that word desire is epithymio. I'll spell it for you. E-P-I-T-U-M-E-O. It's a verb. It's an active sense. And when you observe somebody is looking for something, you will see it in his actions. In the utterances of the angels and their actions, it was obvious they wanted to know God. God gave his wisdom only to man. Now, someone asked me, that is it possible that the angels did all those dirty work in the Old Testament? Unknowingly. That maybe the angels did all those stuff. Truth of the matter is that, I think I taught this in what we just missed. I think it's Law and Prophets. That Moses did have an interaction with angels in giving of the law. So, is it possible that they were involved in all that extra biblical things, extra Christology things, extra power of God things? No. We'll find out. Just wait. Because we're going somewhere that is like a ground where if Book of Revelation. Now, I won't do a teaching on it. I just want to show you something. And I'll leave you to think as usual. It's not my... You see today why it's not my favorite book. You'll see. Just be patient. You have to be anyway. You're already here. So, they desire... So, Peter knew... With his study of the angels, Paul had no time for that. He said, intruding into angels, zero. Worship of angels, nonsense. He said, to be made known by the church. Simple. He didn't even go, it's the same thing Peter is saying. But Peter was mild. Paul was not. He was mild. I said, he desired to look into that word. Who asked them to? Is that a job? Just serve and keep quiet and move on. He calls it the hidden wisdom. Praise God. Wow. The hidden wisdom. The word hidden here is hapokrupto, A-P-O-K-R-U-P-T-O. When hapo is, what does it mean? Hapo is fastened. That is, it's more exact. Sometimes it's for final, but not really. Like absolute. Apocalypsis. Absolute revealing. So you have, this was hidden where? Where is he hidden? 1 Corinthians 2:6-7. Where is he hidden? Hidden where? Because of the wisdom of God. You've left that place. Even the hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He hid it. So, the solution was with God. He hid it in Him. Luke 10:21. You have hidden these things from the prudent and the wise. And you have revealed them unto me. Ephesians 3:9. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. Hallelujah. Where is he hid? Where is he hid? In God. Hallelujah. Hid in God. Colossians 1:26. So when he tells you, look at Colossians 1:26, I want to show you something. I'm going to use now for security. Let's just see what he's saying. Colossians 1:26. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hid from ages and generations. That's why Colossians 2:3, for you are dead, that is past tense, and your life is hid with Christ in God. What's in your life? Talking about the wisdom of God. Is hid in Christ in God. Our life is in the wisdom of God. So that's when, look at 1 Corinthians 2 again. It now says, for had they known it, 1 Corinthians 2, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known it, they would not have crucified a lot of glory. You see, there was a lot of confusion. In Matthew 26, put your hands there, coming back here. Matthew 26:64. When they had buried Jesus, now the next day, that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that the deceiver said, Matthew 26:63, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore is fear. You have killed someone. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people who is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. What error there is deception. The last error shall be worse than the first one. That he said he's going to rise from the dead. He's telling people, let us cover the place very well, so they will take his body after the third day. They are jokers. You can see that they don't know what he was talking about. They are confused. You can see the confusion that they had. So, had they known it? So they were knowing from observation. Whilst the prince of this world, while they were using power, God demonstrated his wisdom. what he knew that he did not know. He said that was ordained from the world, to our glory. Before the world, to our glory. That word there is protoanion, for our glory. That's doxa. For our glory. Something God has prepared for our glory. Said they did not know it. They didn't know it. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. He calls the wisdom of God the power of God. It says Christ crucified, the wisdom of God. Because the power of God. Verse 24. The power of God that is the wisdom of God. Now, don't forget, Christ was crucified by who? Which men? Sinners. Christ was crucified by men. Hallelujah. So, who offered Jesus to sin? We are investigating the wisdom of God. Who offered Jesus to sin? God. Who offered to be used? That means you were not around yesterday. Or Saturday. Who instructed? Who offered himself? For who? Who killed him? So who offered him to die? Who offered him for death? Men. Are you following the wisdom of God? We will see how Satan's hold was broken. He was a stupid guy. You know, all God can use is still sinners. He can't come and interpret the thing. Can you see why he became a man? You have to use Judas. Judas was just a typical sinner. He can't use any other thing but sinners. That is his wisdom, his insight. So death for death. Hallelujah. Are you following me? He can't use it. All he can do is to allow man, right, to deal with the devil in the bondage. Man. You know, everything was done from man to man in redemption. God's role was to inspire, teach. Like Jesus said, he gave him a commandment to lay down his life. And then where he stepped in was to raise Jesus from the dead. I will see that soon. Maybe not today, but let's see this. So, Christ was crucified by who? The power of darkness was in who? Exactly. So, what was used to deliver for the power of darkness? The same power. It's the same power. Are you following? Let's relax. That's why it's called the wisdom of God. Let's relax. Relax. Jesus gave himself over to men so that men can be delivered from what was holding them. And the only way men could have killed him is the same thing that is holding them. So he through death destroyed he that had the power of death, that is the devil. That is what is called The devil committed harakiri. If you are just walked in love. He's so intelligent. If you have just walked in love, pay attention. So, now, notice how did God make it that nobody knew? I had not seen. Hear had not heard. Neither has it entered the mouth. Don't you say mouth has not spoken? They were saying it, and saying it, and saying it, but was not clear to them because it was said in types and shadows. It was said in different forms. It wasn't God's making, because the men that he had to use to say it were also in darkness. So, that is his wisdom. Hallelujah. He commands light from darkness. It is his wisdom. He didn't block anybody's eyes from seeing it. It was blocked. He didn't block their eyes from seeing it. He didn't block their ears from hearing it. That's spiritual. And they were uttering. They were uttering. So, I will say this quickly. That's why what the prophet had is not the spirit of truth that we have. You discover that what they had was only utterance. Only utterance. They were saying things, just like speaking in tongues, and not having the real tongues. They were saying things, and no man understood. They were saying things, and saying them, and saying them, and saying them. So when he says it was hidden in God, from the world, it's not that nobody said it. They were saying it, but was not disclosed. The meaning of what they were saying was not disclosed. For example, I have not seen, it's not a prophet that said it, nor he heard. And that's 4 verse 4. And God revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Follow this. So again, how did Jesus die? He died through men. Notice what Satan said to Jesus. He said, look at the kingdoms of the world and the glory thereof. It has been delivered to me. By who? By men. He didn't say by Adam. By men. Look at the glory. For example, a typical person was Herod. He couldn't have said that if David was a king. Do you understand what I'm saying? What he said is an actual fact. That the kingdoms that I have them. But if David or any of the kings who was a believer, you can't say that all. Are you following me? Because it's a literal thing that he was saying. An example is Herod. He heard that a king was born, which is prophetic. He had the scriptures. Whether he also hid it or not, we don't know. Some men came from the east. They said, go and let me know where he is. And the good part was that even the stars were wise enough. The star was wise enough. Because if the wise men had known where he was, he would have said, let's go together. And it is not unlikely that he could have killed Jesus. That's how powerless God can be. Hope you are following this. My powerless is... Well, we come after me now. Okay, that's what they look for. So, recall what happened. He now waited. You know, he became unsettled. Why is he unsettled? Why? Because Satan was right. He was right. Herod is mine. So, as his thoughts, and they go, and they were warned by God, just go, Afra, don't branch, don't take BRT, just fly and get out. So he waited, and when he waited, and saw that he did not come back, this was 2 years after Christ had been born. 2 years. He waited. What's going on? Look at how funny it is. That means that with all the knowledge, nobody knew the incarnation happened. That's the best of human knowledge. You'll just be finding out. Yeah, aren't you born here? They say, we're taking census. Jesus was born. His name is Jesus Joseph. And this one, and all that. Jesus, great. Okay. The mark. With all your knowledge, that's not Jesus Joseph. It's God. He has come to deal with you. They didn't know. That's why I love when people are over celebrating science. What do you want to know? What do you know? Insight that is only found in the Holy Ghost. What do you want to know? I was telling one guy, he's a scientist. I asked a question. I said, what is happening in the next room? You don't know. And I said, there's no God. They're a fool. Some of us know things. I will tell you. That's omniscience. No, you can't, if you like, you can't know. Have you ever seen the world? They look at you in the whole world. Infinitesimal. How can you not know everything that's happening? Somebody does. Amen. Without believing him. So, when you know what he did? As he became unsettled, he now asked, notice, that he should kill children. Can you see Herod, Pharaoh, Moses? Unfortunately. Kill them from 2 years. That is the exercise of the prince of the power of the air. Kill everybody. And then Jesus had gone to Egypt, that had a king that was also of the power of darkness, but again, it has to be knowledge. No, they have to be told. But I had not seen, he had not heard. Even Joseph, you know, they had to just drag him in. Even Mary had to keep it in her heart. She heard all those things and all that. She was still calling herself the mother of Jesus. That's confusion. You know how he came to you. Why are you calling yourself his mother? That's his delusion of grandeur. Tell him that his mommy is around. What's wrong with you? You know, sometimes you look at it, you know, I was talking to someone, please make sure this is not recorded. And the guy was saying that there is in a church that somebody was pregnant before they got married, that they want to beat, that they want to punish his sister, they cannot join people that are not married, they were going to get married. That's how the good lady was already pregnant. You know, they are supposed to do this test and all that. I said, what were you looking for? You know, the child said, I said, what do I do? He's a pastor. But he's feeling uncomfortable. And I said, what do you want me to say? I said, what is it? What exactly is the sin? The pregnancy? Is the sin the pregnancy? No, and all that. So he went back and forth. I said, hey. So what do I think? I said, hey. Joseph married Mary. Our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to say, go. I know, I didn't say it. That is the incarnation. Say, so boy, is that not the Holy Ghost? I said, you mean they'll be telling everybody that it's the Holy Ghost that put the baby there? Oh, sure on, yeah. Faith, man, yeah. And then even if you agree, if you agree at that, that oh, well, we can join only when it's the Holy Ghost. Then Jesus will come up, oh. And then it's the Holy Ghost too. What do you want to say? Yeah, let's talk about. Let's talk, continue the Bible, Jari. Whatever I said now, I will deny it though. I didn't say anything. I said, when people come to know God, they will just be relaxed. But really, you know, I like this song. You are not, you are big, you are what people say. That song is true. We just have problems generally. Where we think, he wants blood, he wants death, he wants this, and his love. You can kill in the Old Testament, but not the New Testament. That's just you to go and kill and change. And just change. And say you change not. Notice that they were uncomfortable. Amen. Do you notice that the hold they had on Jesus had to be man-made? It had to be man-made. Again. So when Satan was saying that, he meant it. 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the wicked one. But whatever is born of God has overcome the world. Yeah. Hallelujah. The whole world lies in the wicked one. 1 John 5:19. So, how in the world did Jesus escape the first death? The wise men. You know, there were several instances too, you know, where they came after him and he escaped. He escaped. There was one they wanted to go and throw him down the hill. He escaped. So, you can see Herod. And that is how the power of darkness works. It works through men. Deceit and all that. I wrote something in my notes. I said, man's inadequacy becomes God's opportunity to show his love and to conceal his wisdom. You know, there are things that Jesus will tell nobody. Why would he say, tell no man? Why? Because if man gets a hold of it, they can stop the plan of God. Tell nobody. Say this to nobody. Tell no man. You can see the enormous influence man has. Tell no man. Because Satan works with information. Are you following? He works with information. So look at Acts 2. Are you learning something? Wow. Acts 2. That's all I can do. Verse 23. He's been delivered by the determinate counsel of God and foreknowledge of God. You are taken and by wicked hands are crucified and slain. Look at the word. Determinate plan of God. That word determinate plan is the word horizo. H-O-R-I-Z-O. Is to mark boundaries. The word determinate means to mark boundaries. The word plan is the word bole, B-O-U-L-E, a deliberate wisdom. That's why he calls it the knowledge of God. Deliberate wisdom. Knowledge of God. It's a deliberate wisdom. So God marked out a plan that had boundaries. And that boundaries was with man. Predeterminate counsel, which is called the foreknowledge of God. You see that word? Luke 2:22, quickly. Acts 10:42. Acts 11:29. I'll say again, Luke 2:22, Acts 10:42, Acts 11:29, Acts 17:26, Acts 17:31. I'll say it one more time. Luke 2:22, Acts 10:42, Acts 11:29, Acts 17:26, Acts 17:31, Romans 1:4, and Hebrews 4:7. And that word, the predetermined counsel of God. So you mark boundaries and it is in your speaking. Now, notice something. Try to see. Okay. Let's leave it for now. So, he's saying that this is called the foreknowledge of God, which is what prognosis or prognosco, a prognosis. Prognosis. To see. To see. That word plan of God, let's quickly run through this. Ephesians 1:11, counsel of his will. Hebrews 6:17. Counsel, talking to Abraham. 1 Corinthians 4:5. 1 Corinthians 4:5 is motive. Something you think in. Your motive. So there was a predetermined motive of God. God had a motive. So that foreknowledge and predetermined counsel is not man. It's not God making man do something. It's God's motive. God's motive that he had seen in giving himself, his son, to man. Acts 4:28, Acts 5:38. Look at Acts 13:36. A motive. It's also used for a decision. Acts 13:38. Be known unto you, therefore, to know, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. So Acts 13:36, that was a mistake. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid into his fathers and saw corruption. Acts 13:36. Acts 20:27. I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. 27:12 and 27:42. So, in the foreknowledge of God, it's not that God knows what will happen. God's foreknowledge is his own counsel. What he can see. It's his own motive. It's not God interplaying with man's will. No. It's God's foreknowledge is in himself. It's his own wisdom. Whatever foreknowledge is used, it is used as touching God's own plan and actions in redemption. I've taught you that before. It's not, now God is omniscient in that he knows all things. But not, that's not what foreknowledge is used for. Foreknowledge is God determining his own motives ahead of time. That is, whatever happens, God will love. Whatever happens, this is his foreknowledge. He will save. So what did he do? Acts 2 again. you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So, in his foreknowledge, what did he do? Verse 23. Him being delivered. That word delivered is ekdotos, E-K-D-O-T-O-S, from ekdidomi, remember power didomi, to give over, to surrender. So, Jesus surrendered. Why? In the foreknowledge of God. And in the foreknowledge of God, we see God's love. He surrendered to give over. So that surrender is not evil, but love. Are you following? Are you following that? It's love. So, he surrendered to wicked hands. Now, when God made Jesus surrender to wicked hands, what was he doing in essence? He surrendered to the power of darkness and surrendered to the enemy. Is that very clear? So there's going to become, we'll do this on Saturday better. There's going to become a legal template for dealing with the devil. Because now he's in the hands of the devil. Hallelujah. An innocent man who was made sin by God for man, with whose cooperation? Man. So man is about to break the hold of the devil by the power of darkness that it had custody of and delivering him over as the ransom. So in the wisdom of God, man was going to deal with the devil. I'm talking about the frail man, the wicked man, the sinful man. Hallelujah. Was going to do that. Watch this. I want to ask a question. I'll get you to think on this and we'll come back. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. When was Satan destroyed? He that had power of devil, of death. Was it in the death of Jesus? Or in the resurrection? Huh? That through death, he might destroy. So is it death or resurrection? They're not looking at the word might. He might. Not that he has destroyed. He might. He might. Because if Jesus died and was not raised from the dead, you know, it's in his resurrection that he made a show of things openly. If he did not rise from the dead, we are yet where? So think about it. I'm not giving an answer, but I want you to think. Don't lose that word that he might destroy. So it gives you a suggestion. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. That he might destroy he that had the power of death, that is the devil. Hallelujah. Check these scriptures, you know, somewhere to make sense. Luke 12, 58. And Acts 19, 12. Luke 12, 58. Check it. And Acts 19, 12. Okay, that is to deliver over to. Okay. So, now, let's look at one of Paul's submissions. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. He made him sin. He made him sin for us. Now the first thing is that he knew no sin. Ginosko, doesn't know what sin is. 222 times is intimate experience. So he had no experience of it. He knew what sin was. He was tempted now. But he did not have an eternal experience of sin. He made him sin. Again, what's the key word there? For. For us. The word made, 2 Corinthians 5:21, is P-O-I-E-O, to cause an act to happen. Passed on two times, to cause something to happen. Now, he made him sin will be what? The love of God. Right? He made him sin. God can only use his love. It's not that he killed him for him to become sin. Mm-mm. He made him sin. It is the sacrifice of Jesus, Romans 8:32, we saw that yesterday, John 3:16, that he gave. He gave him for men to be able to kill him. Right? He gave him. And that's why we find agape for us. Now, just follow the trend that's 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 14 will be our rider. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 14 will be our rider. Notice the word for us in verse 21. For us. He used that word earlier in 14. Let's take 14 together. For the love. For what? The love of Christ constrains us. It controls us. Not the love for Christ. The love of agape. The love of Christ constrains us. That's the word sunecho, Greek, S-U-N-E-C-H-O, to hold us. That's what's holding us. The love of Christ constrains us. Let's continue. Because we thus judge, Krino, we think, we decide, we can see this. We thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. If one died for all, look at the word for, and that he died for all, that they which live, not all will live, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And rose again. Follow this. Then he begins to explain it. 18, 19, 20. Use a very key word. It says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So how many times you have reconciliation? Twice. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray, in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Use the word katalasso in the Greek. K-A-T-A-L-A-S-S-O. Katalasso has an old word. That's why people call it exchange. Okay? It means to change something. To change its outlook. To change its position. He has reconciled us to himself. That is, he has changed us by himself. Notice that he mentions the death of Jesus. Then says he rose again. Notice the change is not in the death, but that he lives. So we live unto him. So he changed. So, katalasso is not. Why it looks like reconciliation in the Greek is because two people come together. But in this instance, it is one party. So one party comes to change the other one. Are you following what I'm saying? One party, God, reconciling. He's the one. The action is from him. Because he calls it the love of Christ. He comes to change. So in those days, katalasso was used for coins, gold coins. You will come to change it for something. So, it will be a coin. By the time you drop it, it will become an object. Are you following? So, in catalasso, that's why people call it exchange. God in Christ comes and changes us. Hallelujah. That's why it says we live. So, it follows as it's going. He died for us that he might. So, a temple was made that he might. He died, we were dead. He came to that position. That he might. What did he now do? Not difficult. He was made sin. In being made sin, what did he do? He put down the coin. He's made sin. For us, that we might become. Before we go to that, look at 19. Not reckoning their sins unto them. Logizomai, verse 19. Or trespasses, not sins. Sorry, trespasses. Trespasses is from the word pareptoma, P-A-R-E-P-T-O-M-A, 21 times. It's used for errors. There is something ringing about God. It's ringing. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and not imputing. He didn't say, he reconciled the world to himself, so that he will not impute. Mm-mm. God in Christ, he's showing us his character. Do you understand? In fact, the reason why Jesus took our place was because he was not considering our errors. That's why we say we don't qualify. His love for us had ignored our sins before he died. Do you understand? So, it's not redemption that makes us see the love of God. It's the love of God that made him come to die at all. Are you following this? So, what did he do? That is why there was a stronger term used. Logizomai. Our errors. Errors. Make one mistake here. Errors can be multiple. Not one. Now watch this. For he made him sin. He used the word for you. To cause to act. He made him sin for us. So he caused Jesus to become sin for us. That is his death. That we might what? Become. A wonderful word is ginomai. That we exist. Hallelujah. As the righteousness of God in him. That we exist. As the righteousness of God in him. Don't forget. There are two things that he said, that Paul said. When was he made sin for us? In his death. He died for us. And he rose again. That those that live, hey, might live unto him. So those that live, those that exist, now exist as what? The righteousness of God in him. So, in his resurrection, we were made what? Huh? He was delivered up because of our offenses and raised up for our justification. It's in his resurrection that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. Redemption. That means in his resurrection, we are seen as not at fault and cannot be faulty. Remember, we just told you that it's in his resurrection we have offenses. Are you following? That's why the epistles were stronger on the life of Jesus than his death. There was a solemn way they handled his death and a celebratory way his resurrection. Are you following what we're saying? Is this clear? So, that means in his resurrection, we exist with him. Catalasso, we are changed with him. Get that? That's why it's called reconciliation. Like people coming together. He's actually saying you and Christ now exist together. Do you understand? Because you know, it's a word. I know when I see Paul, you say he had very few words to be able to use. When you have a coin, you bring the coin and then you get this. So in value, this and this mean the same thing. That's why it's called exchange. But that's just for use of words. What he's saying is this. In his resurrection, we became as him. So you look at both, we have the same value. We are made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. We can't be made righteousness of God in his death. It has to be in him. In what? In his resurrection. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? That we might become. So, there's a template for Christ for us. Okay? You know what? It just shows that love always wins. So, what is that reconciliation? How were we changed? How were we changed? How did we become the righteousness of God? But you can't exist. To exist means that is who you are. That is his spirit. You know, we have been saying that. That the essence of the resurrection is the spirit. We are changed in our nature. Glory to God. So, what is better and greater after the resurrection is not forgiveness of sins. You get it? Like, my sins are not counted. No. Jesus came to demonstrate that already. That, see, God, from time immemorial, he was not counting sins. That's what he's saying. He showed that in the way he lived. Okay? Now, much more than that, we are now affected from sins. Hallelujah. We are raised together with him. Glory to God. And that is where, how are we raised? I told you that, don't look at, you jumped up. Being raised refers to being taken out. It is the new creation that is that resurrection. We are changed. That's what it means. Hallelujah. We are changed. Now we are sons of God. Hallelujah. 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 That's what we are. That's why I call it the righteousness of God. In him. In him. Paul's mastery of the word in is so beautiful. In is in. Hallelujah. You know, preposition by, for, in the place of, to what? In, inseparable. He used in more than by. He used in more than for. I'll go teach that later. The prepositions of the New Testament. There are prepositions that you must know. For, of, in, by. Which one was most? Which one was more? In was more. Because in is the preposition. That's what God loves most. In. Therefore, what do you like most about English? You say in. When I'm in. Hallelujah. You get that? In. So, in him. Strong. So, the spirit is ours. It's in the spirit that we are reconciled. We are now the same. Hallelujah. Jesus was not a sinner, but he was super for. And it's in this that Satan lost his hold. God raised him for our justification. Hallelujah. You know why? God can only raise. He cannot kill. Now there is a basis of justification. Now he has raised up Jesus from the dead. We'll investigate that wisdom later. There's wisdom in God. Hallelujah. Romans 6, 9 to 10. That's God. So you know that means, you know, it's just clear that God is not a two-faced personality. I didn't say two-faced, so two-faced. He's not double-faced. You can you see that his nature has been consistent? Where do we find the inconsistencies of God? It's amongst men. Can you see how Ezekiel was trying to outdo Moses? He says, it has no longer been said in Israel that the fathers have been so great and the children have said on it, as though he was going to say something wonderful. The soul that sinners shall die. You tried. At least you're taking us away from generational nonsense. You have tried, but bro, sit down. But now went for the same person, so that sinners shall die. In the same Ezekiel, he said, if a man has been righteous, and he now does one, said, all righteousness he has done, welcome. Say, what have been doing wickedness, and now does just one? Can see, they are all very confused folks. Then, at a point, he now said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. I will put my spirit, say one now. You can't say this one, say this one. Tell the soul that sinners shall die. And I say, he will give the same soul his spirit. Imagine following that kind of person. Or is your pastor? You know the pastor people today? Ezekiel has churches. Moses has most churches. Many churches. Not most. He has many churches. Every Sunday, just come. Brethren, you have come into the presence of God. That is sin consciousness glorified. How can someone say you came into the presence of God when what he fulfilled was come into you? I came to the presence. What a great time in the presence of God today. What is the presence? They can't explain. That's sin consciousness. What did Moses do for them? He gave them somewhere they should be going. Are looking for God? Don't go here. Where did he go? He didn't tell them. He didn't tell them. So they were going to. And see that temple mentality we have today. Going to church. So as we come together, Father, come in our midst. Where is he coming from? You go on holiday, you know, it's sin consciousness. So, look at this. Romans 6:9. Yep. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more. Hallelujah. Death has no more dominion over him. That means it had before. No more. Hoketi in the Greek. Hoketi. It means to stop having. So, death had dominion over him. Is that correct? It had to happen. Because he was paying a ransom. So, he gave himself over to death. Amen. It had no more dominion over him. Look at Hebrews 9:27. Notice the word once. He died once. Hebrews 9:27. A funeral scripture. Is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. It's a shame. This scripture was just about Jesus. Because if this is true, people are raised from the dead. Or, no, you can't raise it. It's appointed once. He was talking about the death of Jesus. That's why the next verse now says, the word appointed is the word apokemai, A-P-O-K-E-I-M-A. It means to lay up something for one. That means it had been said of Jesus that he would die once. That's what he's saying. And after this, the judgment. You see that word in 2 Timothy 4:8, to lay up for, to lay up in store for, Colossians 1:5, to lay up in store. So Jesus' death was laid up in store. For him. After this, the judgment. So, Christ was once suffered to bear the sins of men. Is Is that clear? So 28 explains 27. Is that clear? The word once is a very lovely word. Ephapas, E-P-H-A, E-P-H-A, P-A-X. It means once and for all. Once and for all. 1 Corinthians 15:6 was seen once, at once. Hebrews 7:27, I suppose, yeah. Hebrews 7:27, he did once. Hebrews 9:12, entered in once. Hebrews 10:10, once. After this, the judgment. Crisis, which we'll see later. So we'll visit the judgments of God. So the love of God is the motivation. Alright? The character of God. So let's couch it like this. Christ's death shows us what? Huh? How much God loves man. It's not a payment for man. It's how much. What we see is the love of God for everybody. That's what we see. The love of God. God commended his love towards us. So Christ's death will teach us love. It is not God's delight, what he desires, but it will show us the love of God. That's why I was telling you, when he was talking about the death of Christ, he said, that is a sweet smelling savour unto him. That's what his death is. So he uses his death to teach us to love others. Have you noticed that anytime his death is used, John says, let us also lay down our lives for others. Are you following that? Christ's death shows the character of God, not the judgment of God. Christ's death is the character of God, not the judgment of God. Whereas, Christ's death is the judgment of sin. Do you get it? But the character of God. So, we have two things we could see there. Can you see it? The character of God, love. The judgment of sin. The wages of sin. The brutality of sin. So God doesn't change. He doesn't change at any point. There's no point he will not be love. He will not love. Even in the place of someone doing what is wrong, he will be love. He will correct. He will teach. He will admonish. But he will do it in love. That's how he is. So Jesus is not God stepping down from evil. He is God in the flesh. Hallelujah. He demonstrates the character of God. That's important. Amen. So the theme of the death of Jesus is the love of God. Just look at the book of Revelation. Somehow the book of Revelation sometimes looks like we are back to where we left. Like I have not been in study. You look at it, but it's in the Bible. I'll just show you something. And I want you to go and study. Not me. The book of Revelation looks like on its own. It looks like the wrath of God was now shown later. Like, he repented for a while, then he now came out, blasting with fire. Not so. Not so. Look at Romans 5. Sorry, Revelation 5. Right? See, I didn't want to quote it. But I just feel like I just talk about this. I'm really reluctant. And you'll see why. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Did you notice that? Look at this. This was the only place it was ever called that name. And it was one of the elders who said it. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is not a lion. Amen. Amen. Let me say it again. He is not a lion. Have you wondered what lions were used for? In the Bible, you now call your Lord a lion, and you are happy. Do you know what lions are? This is the tribe of Judah. Judah Mbo. Can you see that the person is a Jew? Look, you know what lions are? Oh, okay. Let's see where lions are used. Genesis 49 verse 9. Law of first mention. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, as an old lion, who shall arouse him up? Somebody who catches prey. The other time you see it, we see Daniel in the lion's den. And that's what they now call Jesus. Abba. Abba. You know, the fact that somebody says something in a vision does not mean it's right. Oh. In fact, that's why you have to be careful. It's a vision. Jesus is not lion. I know some ministers are called Lion of Judah. Let them go to Judah. Where is Judah, Seth? The root of David had prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Notice this. He's happy that somebody is opening the seals for them. So he's overexcited. Okay. We are going somewhere. The word open is anoigo in the Greek. A-N-O-I-G-O. It means to speak freely of. Now let's look at the word seals. Because this verse is important for this book. The word seals is the word sphragis. S-P-H-R-A-G-I-S. Seals. Is used 16 times. You know what? 16 times. And in the 16 times, that's what seals. 13 in book of Revelation. So it's a revelation word. 13. Romans 4:11. 1 Corinthians 9:2. 2 Timothy 2:19. And the Son of the Lord has this seal. So, that's three times. The other times is in Revelation. Revelation 5:1. A book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. 2. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? See the kind of question this one is asking. And to lose the seals thereof. But you know, we are glad. He is worthy. Hallelujah. He can do it. So, to lose the seals thereof. Please pay attention. And then, verse 9. And they sung a new song. Okay? Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain and had redeemed us to God, hallelujah, by blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. Notice that when the seal was opened, what was the song? It was no longer a lion, it was now what? A lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. So the person that said, he said it before the seal was opened. Do you get it? No, wait. You know, I'm not doing a study of God, I'm just giving you hints. You know? Now, that word seal is from a verb. You know, I tell you, you always know a verb, a noun from a verb. It's from the verb sphragizo, S-P-H-R-A-G-I-Z-O. You see it used in Matthew 27:66, to seal up the grave. John 3:33 and John 6:27 about Jesus. John 3:33 and John 6:27. 2 Corinthians 1:22, were sealed with the Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, sealed with the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, sealed with the Spirit. Now, we're sealed with the Spirit to be opened. Talking about the body. Hallelujah. The manifestation. So when you see that word, when the seal is open, you see things. Look at where a seal was placed. A seal was placed in Revelation 5. Yet, we have heard about the churches 2 and 3. Yet there was a seal. The seal has to be opened for you to know what he is talking about. Hallelujah. Amen. So, I think I wrote it in my note. I said, he has opened it. Let us trust his own revelation. Hallelujah. Let's see a few things. So it's not a lion. What is he? Huh? You know, calling him the Lamb of God, it befuddles the Jew. Doesn't make sense. That is why the elder called him lion. Called him a lamb. He said, lion, he's a lion. He said, no, let him open it. Oh, who is worthy? He said, the lamb. The song was the lamb. Now look at this. Let's rely on him. What will happen? I'll just summarize it. Number one, death and hell will be destroyed. When the seal was opened, death and hell will be destroyed. Don't expect death and hell to be, they are not eternal things. Revelation 20:13. He gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell developed the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. 21:4. They shall no more be death. Hallelujah. Revelation 20:11. Satan is overcome. You know that one said lion. Yeah. When Satan was going to be overcome, when the seal was opened, he's overcome by blood. That's not violence. Are you following? The book of Revelation is also about new things, a new name, new city, new songs, new name, Revelation 2:17, new city. Revelation 3:12, new songs. It's good to sing new songs, not David's songs. Revelation 5:9, 14:3, all things are new. 21:15, I'm not sure I'm talking about. All things are new. All things, 21:5. Behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's also a book for worship. The word worship is used 38 times, New Testament Greek, and 15 times in the book of Revelation. 15. In fact, by extension, 60 times. That's worship. Worshipped as to past tense. 28 times New Testament Greek. And 9 times alone, Book of Revelation. Worship. Proskuneo in the Greek, towards, to kiss towards, is used for the knees coming down or to prostrate. Whenever proskuneo is used, the body goes down. That is, the knees touch the floor. Proskuneo. It's to go forward. To go forward down or your knees. But in proskuneo, the knees must touch the ground to kiss forward. That is, you push your knees forward. That is worship. So what I said is your lifestyle. Good. But there's also worship. Okay? Notice what he says about worship. Hallelujah. What did he say? Revelation 1:17. Fear not. I am the first and the last. Fear not. So in worship, we fear not. Revelation 4:18-11. Worship. 5:8-14. 4:18-11. 5:8-14. No. Revelation 4:8-11. 18. 8-11. How can I say 18-11? 5:8-14. Seven, 11:15-17. Worship. 14:7. 15:1-4. 22:9. I'll start again. 8 to 11. That's what I wrote here. 5:8-14. 7:11. Revelation 11:15-17. Revelation 14:7. Revelation 15:1-4. Revelation 19:10. 22:19. Look at that 19:10. I want us to read that together. And I fell, watch this. And I fell at his feet to worship him. Angel, can you imagine John at this stage? You will see something now. And he said unto me, see thou you do it not. Angel, I am your fellow servant and of your brethren. Now there's been an argument, that word fellow servant, I'm one of your servants, I'm just servant like you. Well, I believe is I'm one of your servants. But if the angel said, I'm a fellow servant like you, it's John's fault. Why would you? And of your brethren, that they have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Ah, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Oh, I like this. The testimony of Jesus. Amen. Number 5 is the book of the Lamb. Revelation 1:5. It's not a book of the lion. It's a book of the Lamb. The first begotten. The prince of the kings of the earth. He loved us. Hallelujah. And washed us from our own sins in his own blood. Hallelujah. Look at that. Revelation 5:9-10. 13:8. The book of the Lamb. 17:18. So when you say the book of the Lamb, is the book of those whose sins have been washed. It's the book of the Lamb's provision. Let's read this one. I love to read this one. Revelation 7:16. 7:16. They shall hunger no more. Hallelujah. Neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. He will be the food, he will be the water, and he will also be the light. Revelation 21:4. And God shall wipe away all tears, hallelujah, from their eyes, and they shall no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 23. And the city has no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did light in it. The lamb is the light thereof. Hallelujah. Revelation 5, 8 to 14. So, if you are going to this book to look for the lamb, this is what you are going to be reading. If you are looking for the other things, have a great time. You can have a great time, you know. You have a great, wonderful time. Look, I'm reading about the lamb. You can be looking for other things there. 666. He said he will give you a new name and place a seal on all that is. Then he talks about another person who will put a name of you called 666. You are going after 666. You are blessed. Says it's the number of a man. And you are doing movie on that. Okay. 21:4. No, okay, 23. Revelation 5, 8 to 14. Glory to God. He has made us what? Kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And at the end, I heard the sound of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000, 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Wow. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, had that saying, blessing and honor, glory and power, be unto him that sits upon the throne, upon the Lamb forever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lives forever and ever. It's a book of celebration. Revelation 19:4-10. We call it the marriage supper of the Lamb. 4-10. That's where John was warned. Also 11-21. It's a book of victory. Now, let me now give you a few things to look at in that book. You know, just like every vision, you have to know that it will use figure of speech. Right? Am I right? When he said that death was on the horse, now you are looking for, you have to be careful. It says, for example, when he says, for example, okay, let's see. It's a book that, what I found, the figure of speech I found the most, apart from metaphors, that I found prevalent there the most, is oxymoron. What's an oxymoron again? Huh? Saying opposite things. And that is the reason why there's been confusion in this book. The use of oxymoron. Look at Revelation 6:16. I'll show you a few. And said to the mountain and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's an oxymoron. A lamb does not have wrath. Are you with me? Because the word lamb is from the word amnios. A-M-N-O-S. From amnion. Or anion. A-R-N-I-O-N. It is used for what is innocent. So I'm saying the wrath of an innocent person. That's an oxymoron. The wrath of the Lamb. John 1:29, the Lamb of God. John 21:25, Anion, feed my lamb. That the two places you are going to find the word lamb, or well, four places, I'll say. John 1:29, John 1:36. I think so. Let me be careful. John 1:29, John 1:36, I suppose. Yep, Lamb of God. John, then, Acts 8:32, the Enoch, and 1 Peter 1:19, not Paul. Because it's a diminutive word. It's a word of adjectives. That means he just wants you to take something out of it. So, in talking about, in calling Jesus a lamb, is to refer to his ransom. The fact that he is innocent. Paul rather would say that he that knew no sin. It's the innocence of Jesus that's being projected, not an animal that is white. Innocent, gentle nature is love being, is love nature. Look at the oxymoron of now saying the wrath of the lamb. You know that's an oxymoron. Wrath of the lamb. Look at Revelation 14:10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Abba. Wine? Wine is for celebration. But oxymoron. The wine of the wrath of God. 19:20, lake of fire. Water and fire. Lake of fire. Water should quench fire. That's why we say that he now, death and hell were now to die the second death. That's oxymoron. Death dying. That's a figure of speech, sorry. So it's a book of figures of speech. Okay? I said Jesus was called a lion once, but he's a lamb. Imagine he's called a lamb that conquered. Does lamb fight? Oxymoron. So, whatever fight he did is not violence. I'm not doing a study on it, I'm just giving you, it's not violence. Look at Revelation 19:15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, with it he will smite the nations, a lamb, and he shall rule over them with a rod of iron, and tread with the winepress of the fierceness, again, wine of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So why is it like this? And this is one of the reasons why I don't teach from it. Because all the people that have a problem with James. Okay, let me stop. Obviously the lamb is used there to talk about just innocent, and he can't be found destroying in violence. Rather, it will be his innocence that is his victory. Are you following? So, those that are calling lion and the lamb, they are confused. He's not lion and the lamb. He is the lamb of God to John. Right? That was the vision. So, is his victory violent? No. So, let's put it like this. His victory is not violent. His war is peace. Hallelujah. His judgment is love. So, we can call the book of Revelation a book of poetry. Right? And imageries. Metaphors and similes. It's almost giving us the same challenges we have with the Old Testament. The only difference here is that the lamb has opened the seal. You know, there's a problem from this book. There are people who have gotten all these movies, Mark 4, where they are doing, is it Mark 5 or 4, where they are doing 666. Say that they will not be able to buy anything when you get the mark. It's a book of imageries. Why is this like that? Why is it a strange book? Why is it a strange? It's a unique book. It is totally out of sync with the way the entire epistles were communicated. My late friend will say, ah, what do you expect from the eyes of Patmos? That guy was crazy. Look at Revelation 1:1. You will see why. It's a strange book. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant things that must shortly come to pass, is sent and sealed by his angel. That's the problem. That's the issue. No epistle had the use of angels in them until this one. You know, it's not difficult. Acts 7:53, the law, Moses. Galatians 3:19. Let me show you something that is vital. In the entire New Testament, what we call New Testament, that's Matthew down to Revelation. Follow this one. Angels were mentioned 180 times. 180. 52 in the four Gospels. Pay attention. 52 of four Gospels, so it will remain 128. Paul, book of Romans, just one. And how did he say? Neither angels are separators. Galatians 3. The two times he mentions the Galatians. Sorry, in Galatians, three times. Two times he mentions the law. Two times. The fourth one too, anyway. The third one too. In Colossians 1, it was warning. Not to intrude into the worship of angels. Are you following? 1 Thessalonians, just once. 1 and 2 Timothy, two times. Hebrews 13 times. Of which Hebrews 1 alone, 6 times, and that's clear. Hebrews 2, 5 times. When he had retired them, he now mentioned them two times to the innumerable company of angels. Hebrews 12:23. Then he says that some have received angels unawares. Hebrews 13:2. 1 and 2 Peter 4 times. Now Peter. Jude once, punishment. And Peter also was about punishment. Two times. Book of Acts, 22 times. Book of Revelation, 76. So it's a book of angels. 76. You know, the curious thing for me is that John did not mention angel at all in any of the epistles until this one. When he was supposed to teach, when the Spirit of truth was to get us to all truth, no angel came out. It is when he was about to die. Did you observe that this is the first epistle that we had more than one narrator? We don't even know how many angels were talking to him. It was more than one. And you know, angels have different, you know, the Bible says, Peter said that they were designed to look. That's why they can say, bros, worship God. There were too many angels. When you have too many angels in a letter, you have to be careful. That's the book of Revelation. In fact, that Revelation 12:7-10, we don't even know which angel it was. Because again, it says that they were war with the angels. So are we sure it's not one of those wars that we're talking to? I joke not. I know, I'm not joking. Amen. Because the imagery is funny. He wrote a letter and it says, there is no fear in love. He said so. As Israel will in this world, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. For he that feareth has is not perfected in love. But bros, you were afraid. Why would the angel say, fear not? Why would you just tell him, fear not? Amen? Are you getting my point? That book of Revelation. Praise God. So, it's created too many imageries. Beasts, swords, and all sorts. For example, note this. I started reading this. We had Christ and we had the beast. Christ, the Lamb, had a horse. Revelation 19:11. The beast also did, called the Antichrist. Revelation 6:2. And you know that the Antichrist, even John, less also the Antichrist is not a human being. The Antichrist is a doctrine that works through men. So what he called the Antichrist, he now had imageries of it. It's not somebody to be the head of the world. And you now, what would you be doing? So you have Antichrist. Then you have bodyguard. Then you'll be the president of the United Nations. Stop watching all those films. John said the Antichrist is already in the world. To anyone that does not submit to the doctrine of Jesus Christ, his humanity and divinity, is the Antichrist. Very simple. So while you are looking for somebody who will come from Italy or Obama, Obama is even finishing, so he's not qualified again. We saw it was Osama. Osama died. Antichrist is around Lagos. In different doctrines. You are looking for a person. He has deceived you. Hallelujah. Are you following? So that's why he will see that the thing about the Antichrist in the book of Revelation, he will do exactly what Jesus will do. Jesus had a horse, he had a horse. Because it's to deceive. So whilst you are looking at events, I dare say the book of Revelation is about what is happening in the hearts of men. I dare say. Amen. It's men that are doing things. So John in the last day just had an angel play around with his The beast also had a horse, Revelation 6:2. Christ also, the Lamb, had a horn. Hey, that deliverance case, so. Revelation 5:6. The Antichrist, the beast, also had a horn. Revelation 13:1. Revelation 13:11. 13:12. Revelation 17:12. I can't expect me to be open to these verses in a church service. And we've seen the horn. I'm sorry. That's why I'm reading it. So you can go and fellowship with it. Sorry. I teach primarily Paul's epistles. I didn't give you this kind of stress. This is stress. It's as though we are reading an Old Testament book. It's true. This is stress. But some people are doing a lifetime of research on it. I bid them Godspeed. Do you notice also that the Lamb had sword? Revelation 1:16, 2:12, 2:16, 19:15 and 19:21. Revelation 1:16, 2:12, 2:16, 19:15 and 19:21. The beast also had. Revelation 6:4, 6:8, 13:10. 6:4, 6:8, 13:10. But there's a difference. Hallelujah. We have an unction from the Holy One. Hallelujah. So don't mix issues up. Amen. the lamb, okay, the lamb showed love. Revelation 1, 5 to 6, he has loved us. 5, 9. 1, 5 to 6, Revelation 5, 9, 7, 17, he loves. The beast coerces. Revelation 6, 4, 6, 8, 12, 12, 12, 17, 6, 4, 6, 8, 12, 12, 12, 17, 13, 4, 13, 7, he coerces, manipulates. The lamb liberates, glory. Revelation 1, 5, 2, 7, 2, 11, 3, 6, 7, 9 to 17. I'll take it again. 1, 5, 2, 7, 2, 11, 3, 6, 7, 9 to 17, 20, 4 to 6, 22, 1 to 3, 24 to 6, 22, 1 to 3, he liberates. The beast feasts on the blood of his victims. Revelation 14, 8, 16, 6, 17, 6. So how do you know these scriptures? I preached on them before. 17, 6, 18, 24, the blood of his victims. While the beast uses the blood, the lamb uses his own blood. Are you there? The lamb has songs of victory. Revelation 5, 9 to 10, 14, 1 to 3, 15, 2 to 4, 19, 6 to 8. You know that John's letters, whether it's the first, second, or third, he had a lot of talk about Antichrist. So he had enough in this revelation. 5, 9 to 10, 14, 1 to 3, 15, 2 to 4, 19, 6 to 8. Whereas the songs of the beast were to make war. Revelation 13, 7, 19, 9. The lamb is called faithful and true. Revelation 3, 14, 19, 11. Faithful and true. 3, 14, 19, 11. The beast is called a seducer and a deceiver. 13, 13. Revelation 13, 13. Revelation 17, 4 to 5. Revelation 28. Revelation 22, 15. 13, 13. 17, 4 to 5. 28, 22, 15. He seduces and deceives. The lamb has his people worship him and worship God alone. Okay? His people worship God. Revelation 14, sorry, 4, 1 to 11. 4, 1 to 11. 5, 9 to 14. 7, 9 to 12. 15, 2 to 4. I'll start again. 4, 1 to 11, 5, 9 to 14, 7, 9 to 12, 15, 2 to 4, Revelation 19, 10, and 24, and 22, 9. 19, 10, 24, 22, 9. But the beast looks for allegiance to himself. 13, 1, and idolatry. 13, 1, 13, 5 to 8, 17, 3, and 19, 20. 13, 1, 13, 5 to 8, 17, 3, 19, 20. The lamb worships or teaches to worship servanthood and sacrifices. The beast is wrath, coercion, and idolatry. While the lamb talks about martyrs, the beast talks about murders. He kills. So in the imageries, we have to be careful what we are looking at. We have the Antichrist, a doctrine that resembles Jesus, but it's not him. And we have Christ, the revelation of God's redemptive sacrifice and resurrection in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what the book of Revelation presents to us. Are you following what I'm saying? So you must know that there's a distinction in both. For example, let's look at some use of images. That's why you have to be careful. It's a book of poetry. Revelation 2, for example. 2, 20 to 23. Talking about Jezebel. I gave her space to repent, verse 21, of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins of the heart, and I will give unto every one of you according to his works. Of course, the kill there, Jezebel there can't be literal. It's a teaching. Are you following this? It's a teaching. Because he says, I have a few things against you because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess. Jezebel has died since. So this is figurative. To teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. So obviously, this is figurative. And so, it's the same language in the entire book. Are you following? So quick one, then we'll close on. So when we talk about the look at how it presents the last days. It presents two things happening together. Christ preached and the Antichrist preached. The Antichrist is not a person. Don't deceive yourself about the Antichrist works even in Pentecostal churches. Yes. It's a teaching. It's not a being. Do you understand? Are you following what I'm saying? It's a teaching. So, what we call the rapture, and I'm just going to close here, and the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? What we call the rapture. Okay? That is what we call the resurrection of Christ, of the church, is the same thing as the judgment seat of Christ. And what we call the judgment seat of Christ is the judgment of the world. Is going to happen simultaneously. And that is what this book seems to present in an imperfect way. Those whose names are not found are cast into. Those who they are cast into are not found, are cast into. It happens. In John 5, Jesus presents it the same way. Look at John 5. I'll take it up next week, don't worry. I said we're looking at the judgments of God. So don't picture everybody will stay somewhere, they will come out, and then when they come out, they will now line up, and then God will sit down, and all that. No. When Paul talks about a reward, he says it is laid up for those that love is appearing. It's not going to happen after some 6 years or 20 years. No. It's appearing there is a resurrection. I'm going to go into all that next week. So it's going to happen together. Amen. It's going to happen together. When this world ends, everything that goes with sin ends with it. Sin, death, and hell. They end together and all its constituents. And then there's a new city. Praise God. All things are now declared new. It's not that people will now wait and then, no. Don't let films teach you God's word. John 5. Marvel not verse 28. You're talking about judgment. Let me start from 27. And I've given him authority to execute judgment also because he's the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. Not talking about judgment. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto resurrection of life. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Are you following this? So the hour of judgment is the same time. That is why he said when he comes. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1. Amen. Verse 1. Verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now, what is the wrath to come? 2 Thessalonians 1. In flaming fire,
Verse 8. Taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I explained that to you before. We'll take it again next week. Look at 10. When he shall come to what? Glorify in his saints and to advertise all that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So, have you seen that it's all together? Can you see this? This coming of the Lord Jesus is the judgment seat of Christ. Not we are going to stay in one hall. Come on, let's think well now. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Look at this text again. 1 Thessalonians again, chapter 4, 5. Now, in 4, it talks about, we that are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Notice that Jesus comes with resurrection. So when he's talking about fire, there we'll see what it is. It comes resurrection because that's what he said in John 5. As the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life. And which were alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be forever with the Lord. Comfort one another with this word. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write you. You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord as so cometh as a thief in the night. Same time. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Can I say the same thing? Can I say the same thing? Praise God. The same judgment. Amen. In the resurrection of Jesus, of our physical body, comes the destruction of sin, destruction of death and Hades, or we call hell. It comes together. Okay? So it's not that anybody will stand and they'll be, I will stand, you will stand, your father will stand. He said, this will have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we. So when he comes with life, we have life. So are we. Do you understand? Then we shall now be changed to resemble what we are. Amen. The manifestation of the sons of God. And those that don't have life will be destroyed. Not because God destroyed them. It's because they had death already. Amen. Do you understand? So that is what is called the judgment seat of Christ. And that is why when that happens, anything that resembles mortality and iniquity will be destroyed. You will never come, it's not that you will never come to the place of seeing those things again. It will be destroyed. However, you will be if you are the kind of person that all you did was in vanity, that will be all you will have. He will be saved from fire. Okay? That will be all. But there will be no reward for that fellow. There will be no reward. And that reward happens afterwards. Do you understand? The reward happens afterwards. So it's everything happens at the same time. So we're going to have seven years of plenty, 7 years of something. Go and be living in Daniel there. And stay in Daniel. And stay in the book of Daniel. And be, it says the lamb has opened the seal. You took the seal and put it back there. And everyone added sellotape. Amen. So you can see why I'm careful with the book of Revelation. Can you see? You still don't see it? Play for us, brother. Let's go, sir. Can you see why? Oh, God. Praise God. So God is love. Is it clear to you? So he didn't change the book of Revelation. He now suddenly became one very vengeful character. Very angry. No, God is just angry. Some people, their God is so angry. It can be Shango they are talking about. Always angry. And that's why even they themselves are always angry. Because you are the servants of to whom you obey. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hope things are clear for us. Amen. So, in the death of Jesus, we see the love of God, not the justice of God. Praise God. His love is seen. Jesus came to demonstrate the love of the Father by laying down his life for us. Don't forget, for us. Hallelujah. So we have eternal life now. Eternal life is taught in two ways. It's taught as what we have, and it's taught as what we shall yet have. Amen. So it depends on how yet have that belongs to us. It's taught as a principle in our spirit and as the future of our bodies. Hallelujah. So you must know how it is used. Amen. As a principle in our spirit and also as the future of our bodies. When it says lay hold on eternal life, it means look towards eternal life. Lay a foundation, talking about the rich when you give. Say, look towards that life. Amen. Not talking about being born again. We already have life. The spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus is also life. Remember when he used redemption in Romans 8, it mentions redemption. It mentions redemption of our bodies. He said adoption. We have received the seed of adoption. Yet we still wait for adoption of the body. So life in our spirit, life for our bodies. Is that clear? Let's worship Jesus. Let's worship Jesus.